This is Solly and Steve on Sports, the show dedicated to us ranting about sports.
Come on in and stay a while. This is indeed Sully and Steve on Sports, the show dedicated to us ranting about sports, brought to you by the I-95 Sports and Entertainment Network and the Mile High Radio in Denver. Sully and Jeff coming to you from the FedEx Studios. Steve and Dan once again on hiatus. However, they have sent us in their thoughts. I know this, by the time the show hits air, it'll be Black Friday. So happy Thanksgiving to one and all. Hope you had a very nice turkey day. Hope the food was good. You get to spend time with your families. And now you can kick back on Black Friday. We're doing a little bit of shopping and enjoying a fine quality sports entertainment program while you're waiting online like an idiot for Black Friday deals.
Sports entertainment?
Yeah.
So we're now a wrestling podcast?
No, we're just an entertaining sports program.
Are we?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so we got a lot to get to on the show today. As the opening music has indicated, we will get to NFL talk a little later on in the show. We also got some news and notes to touch on from the NBA and the NHL if we get around to it. But before we get into Major League Baseball talk, because there's plenty to talk about, I feel like getting this out because it is the Thanksgiving edition of the show. What are you most thankful for, whether it be your personal lives or from a sports perspective? Let us know on social media, facebook.com/SollySteveOnSports, Twitter at @S_S_sports. And as far as I'm concerned, personally, you're going to get the same generic stuff that most of us will probably say they're thankful for, and which I think most of us would agree on.
Well, then say something that's not generic. Because the listener knows basically what you're going to say about friends and family and this and that.
Move over your head and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Well, I'm thankful that I was finally able to pass my road test, for one thing.
There you go. That's
probably
good.
The biggest one on the list, for at least for 2017.
The friends and family stuff is a given.
Yeah,
so.
I know. But that's the biggest one that I'm thankful for, is that I actually, by some miracle, have not only passed my road test, but I haven't GTA-style run over anybody, which is another miracle in and of itself. Yeah, I know what you're thinking, but I beat you to the punch, Jeff. So
what?
We got that. What?
What, that I didn't... Sorry, I didn't hear what you're saying, because
I said,
it didn't make sense to me.
No, I said...
Because I was thinking about, like, wait, so I ran over someone? Or?
No, I haven't run over anybody yet. I haven't GTA-style run over anybody, thankfully. That's one of the things I'm most thankful for, is I haven't done anything stupid behind the wheel of a car yet.
Mm.
So there's that, and from a sporting perspective, I'm thankful that, I know I get ripped on for not really paying attention to the NBA. I'm not an NBA guy, so what? That's not what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for the sports that I do follow religiously and that I do love. I'm thankful that I'm a hockey fan, even though my choice of team sometimes gets ragged on. Yes, I'm thankful that I'm an Islander fan, and I'm thankful I'm a hockey fan.
Okay, yeah.
I'm thankful I follow the NFL. I'm thankful I follow Major League Baseball, and I'm thankful I follow college sports, mostly basketball, mostly college hoops and college hockey. What about you?
I'm thankful for the city of Houston to experience a championship.
Amen.
After them experiencing a horrible hurricane earlier on in the year.
Agreed.
The generic thankful for the opportunity of a new job.
Yep.
All that type of stuff.
Thankful that we still get to do the podcast week in and week out.
Thankful that I might have a new idea for my own personal stuff, like to, new work and things like that.
All right.
You know, just those types of
thankful
things.
Thankful that you could be going to Japan New Year's week.
Could be, I am.
All right. And by the way, for the record, if you didn't know it already, the two of us are big wrestling fans. I hate you for going to Wrestle Kingdom.
Yes, I'm thankful that I'm going to Wrestle Kingdom.
I hate you so much for that.
Woo!
Well, it's mostly for one match, Jericho and Omega.
Well, that was the one that made me buy it.
Yeah, I know.
I'm excited to see what's going on.
I have to ask someone. You don't have to give specifics. Just generally speaking, were the tickets cheap?
No.
Okay, so what level?
It wasn't WrestleMania expensive.
So it's somewhere between WrestleMania and SummerSlam. Or is it cheaper
probably
than SummerSlam?
Around SummerSlam.
All right. So we'll leave it at that. So that's what we're most, that's what the two of us are most thankful for at this Thanksgiving season. Whatever you
besides
guys
besides the normal friends and family.
Yes, yes, yes. And whatever you guys are most thankful for, let us know. Facebook.com/SullySteveOnSports. You can also tweet us at @S_S_sports. If you do that and we have some good ones, we might read them on the air next week. But that's next week. This is the here and now. And the here and now is the Hall of Fame ballot has been announced for 2018. Now, officially, they're not going to announce the 2018 inductees until the votes are cast, which isn't until January. But at least it's nice to be able to get the debate out of the way now. Danny's got his thoughts on the Hall of Fame induction. Steve has too, but not on the inductees, on comments made by Joe Morgan. What do you want to start with?
How about you tell me first the inductees?
All right,
because you started to tell me, and I said, stop.
Yeah, I want
a nice reaction here.
All right.
And then you talk about the Joe Morgan
comments.
Yes.
All right, we'll get to that. We'll get to that a little later. The nominees of people who are up for Hall of Fame induction this year include Barry Bonds, and this isn't the first timers. This is just a list of everybody.
No. Oh, well, tell me the more hype, the bigger name, multiple years. But then give me all the first years.
You got Barry Bonds. Well,
yeah. Okay, Barry Bonds.
Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens.
Okay, and let me give you what I think is going to happen.
All right.
As you read.
Okay, Barry Bonds.
No.
Roger Clemens.
No.
Curt Schilling.
I want to say yes, but knowing the writers and, you know, their own personal preferences and biases and whatnot, my thought is that they would say no.
Probably no. Clemens, well, Bonds and Clemens taking steroids out of the account, yes. But the fact that they...
It's based on, do you think the writers will put them in? Do I think they'll get in?
Do I think they should be in? Yes. Do I think they're going to get in because of the writers? No.
That's what I'm basing this off of.
Fred McGriff. Ninth year on the ballot. After 10 years, you're off.
How has he been progressing?
21.7% on the ballots. I don't think so.
No.
Billy Wagner. Third year on the ballot. 10.2%. No. Yeah. I mean, he should, but I doubt
it. Any other notable names in that multiple years?
Yeah. Vladimir Guerrero. Yes.
Yes.
Manny Ramirez. No. Same reason. Steroids.
Yeah.
Jeff Kent.
I wish.
Sammy Sosa.
No.
Nah.
It's sad that these great players, even though they had the whole steroid allegations, are not going to make it in no matter what.
This guy, I think, should get in. Edgar Martinez.
This year? No, I don't think this year.
Probably not. Larry Walker.
No.
And last of notable returnees, Gary Sheffield. No.
No. Unfortunately, the 500 home run club does not guarantee you a spot in the hall anymore.
All right. So do you want me to run through everybody on the first year list? That's going to take too long.
How many are on the first year
list?
There's
at least 20.
Rapid fire. Well, I'll do rapid fire.
Wait, if you want to see the entire list, it's up on the blog, ssonsports.blogspot.com.
But Matt's going to say all of them, and I'm going to give you rapid fire answers.
All right, Rod Barajas.
No.
Miguel Batista.
The reliever, right?
Yeah.
No.
Jeff Blum.
No.
Miguel Cairo.
No.
Chris Carpenter.
No.
Aaron Cook.
No.
Francisco Cordero.
No.
Juan Cruz.
No.
Johnny Damon.
He will advance to the next year, but no.
Brian Fuentes.
No.
Bill Hall.
No.
Willie Harris.
No.
Levon Hernandez.
He's not going to make it this year, but I think
eventually
he's going to be on the small lower percentile.
If you get more than 5% of the votes, you stay on the ballot.
Yeah, he'll definitely get more than 5.
All right. Orlando Hudson.
He'll get more than 5.
Aubrey Huff.
He'll get more. He'll be
stay
at
on
5, just barely.
All right. Jason Isringhausen. Stays on, but no.
He won't make it even if he stays for the 15 years.
Nick Johnson. No.
No.
Andrew Jones.
First ballot. No.
Andrew Jones will stay on, but I don't know.
He'll definitely stay on.
This next guy will get in. First ballot, Chipper Jones.
Yes.
Adam Kennedy.
No.
Elky Bio, Carlos Lee. No.
No.
Brad Lidge.
Brad Lidge, ooh.
He'll hang around for a few years.
Yeah, he'll definitely hang around. You're right. But not. I don't think he'll make it.
Rodrigo Lopez.
No.
Mike McDowell.
No.
Hideki Matsui.
He'll be on the ballot for a few years.
Agreed. Kevin Millwood.
He'll be on the ballot for a few years, but I don't think he'll last.
Hell no on this next one. Guillermo Mota.
Yes, actually.
All right.
No, absolutely not.
Jamie Moyer. He'll hang around a while.
Possibly.
Will Ullman.
No.
Vicente Padilla.
No.
Carl Pavano.
Barely makes the cut, but either he barely makes it or won't make it.
Won't make it. Scott Podsednik. No.
No. Let me answer this, Matt.
No, I'm giving my answers too, you know.
Okay, fine.
Juan Rivera. No. Scott Rowland. Eventually, yes. He'll get in.
Yeah, he's not going to get the first ballot.
No, again, it depends on competition, who you're going up against. But Scott Rowland gets in, just not this year. JC Romero. No. Yoan Santana.
He'll definitely make it, but that's going to be a tough one.
He's going to be around a while on the ballot.
He definitely will be.
And we were there for his 100th win at Shea.
Good for him.
So, yeah, Johan's a yes, eventually. Brian Schneider.
No.
Ben Sheets.
No.
Jeff Supon.
No.
This next guy's going to get in probably this year. Jim Thome.
Yes.
Yeah, he'll get in. This next guy...
If not this year, the second year.
Yeah. Again, this next guy will get in eventually. Omar Vizquel.
Not this year.
Agreed, but he's one of the better defensive shortstops of our lifetime.
I'm pretty sure he will.
Kip Wells.
No.
Dan Wheeler.
Absolutely not.
Jack Wilson.
No.
Kerry Wood.
No.
And finally, Carlos Zambrano.
Ha!
All right. So now that we've given our quick take on the Hall of Fame ballots, here's Danny and Steve's take on it. Danny was at least guys who are going to get in. We already went over what you need to get in. 75% gets you in. You're stuck on the ballot for 10 years. And if you get lower than 5%, you're off the ballot automatically. Danny's thoughts are players such as Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, and unfortunately Trevor Hoffman remain on the ballot.
Yeah, that's right. Dad hates him
he
in
hates
the ballot.
Trevor Hoffman. Meanwhile, newcomers such as Chipper Jones, Yohan Santana, and Jim Thome join the ballot. Here's who I would vote for. Chipper Jones, sorry Met fans, he's that bleeping good, and he will be the first ever...
Why are
ever...
Met fans going to say he's not going to make it? I'm a Met fan and I know he's going to make
so
it.
So am I.
Sorry Met fans, it's like, really?
Yeah.
Damn, come on, Dan.
We're taking our Met blinders off. There's no way Chipper's not getting in.
Yeah.
All right, so continuing Danny's thoughts.
He named his daughter after Shea Stadium. How can we hate
name.
Him?
Exactly. Says, sorry, Met fans, he's that bleeping good and will be the first ever
one. Is it really the middle name? I thought that was her first name.
Shea, middle name. It was middle name for his first daughter.
Okay.
Says he's that good and will be the first ever 100% Hall of Famer. That I disagree with.
They gave him the seat to Shea Stadium. One
he
of the
did.
Seats.
It's like, I guarantee it, though. One of the guys who's on the ballot for 2019 is definitely a 100% first ballot. That's going to be Mariano Rivera.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll talk about that next year. Anyway, moving on with Danny's thoughts. Vladimir Guerrero.
Now it's been 6 years since he's retired?
Yep.
Jeez.
It's 5 years. Five-year wait.
It's a five-year wait now?
Five-year wait. That's what it always was.
Oh, I thought it was a seven-year wait.
5 years.
What's a seven-year wait?
At one point, I think it was, but now I think it's been knocked down to five.
Yeah. See, that's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Vladimir Guerrero. Personally, I believe should have gotten in last year, but this year will be his time.
Yeah, that was a robbery.
Trevor Hoffman. God damn it. It's only a matter of time until the overrated closer gets in. So bleep it. Put him in. Barry Bonds. Before the allegations, he was a Hall of Famer. The percentage will go up, but he won't get in this year. Roger Clemens. Read above. LOL. The, you know, allegations beforehand would have been a Hall of Famer. Let's move on. Jim Thome, elusive member of the 600 home run club, he gets in first ballot. Omar Vizquel, great hitter and defender. Mike Mussina, his percentage will go up eventually, gets in soon. Jeff Kent, soon, don't worry. Edgar Martinez, I don't like DHs in the Hall of Fame, but he's getting in next year. So my 2018 inductees are Chipper Jones, Trevor Hoffman, Vladimir Guerrero, and Jim Thome. That's Danny's take on the Hall of Fame this year.
Uh-huh.
So, I agree with the four guys that are getting in. As far as the steroid guys are concerned, and this is a big thing that's been taken out of the Baseball Hall of Fame, it is the Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum. All right? By omitting anything that any of the steroid guys have done, the Bondses, the Clemenses, and the guys who have been connected to it, like Sosa and Maguire, you're eliminating a huge chunk of the history of the game of baseball. Now, I know you want to get rid of that because it's cheating and it's staying the game, but yet you've also, at the same token, and this is going to come up again in a minute with Joe Morgan's comments, but Pete Rose, some of his artifacts are in the Hall of Fame because it is the Hall of Fame and museum, and Pete Rose is not in the Hall of Fame because he bet on baseball, which is illegal.
I mean, I guess my just recent thought is like, yes, to be enshrined is different than being in it. I feel like there has to be, since it's a museum, you should show all these notable players and stuff, but the whole difference is being enshrined and immortalized.
Right.
Where I think they should acknowledge them in the Hall of Fame, not just with merchandise and stuff, but like show them, these top players in their prime during their era, but probably not immortalize them as one of the best players
in the game because of
because of them.
Right.
So yes, you could say you could have Pete Rose in the Hall, but not have him enshrined.
Right, as a Hall of Famer.
Which is kind of hard because it's sort of like saying, yes, you have him in there, but he's not.
No, it's
You don't give Pete Rose the plaque. You don't give him the whole.
Well, there's a couple of ways you can think
the whole
about
treatment.
This. If you
want to go that route.
Well, if you also at the same token, if you're taking away a huge part of the history of the game of baseball, then if you're gonna put these guys in, because let's face facts, Barry Bonds won a couple of MVPs with the Pirates before taking steroids. I mean, don't give me that crap that he didn't take it. It's obvious just by looking at pictures. Barry Bonds was on something. All right, but if you look at strictly the numbers that Bonds put up in his career before joining the Pirate, before going off and looking like a Hulk of a human being with the Giants, he put up numbers that I felt would have been Hall of Fame worthy. Should he be in? Yes, but if you're going to admit anybody from the steroid era, at least have an asterisk or something saying this player took steroids. If you want to do something like that, that's fine. I think that's a way around it, saying, hey, yes, this player had a Hall of Fame career, but there's some level of trepidation with it. That's all I'm saying.
All I can think about is that as this goes on, there will probably be more outcry to have them, those players, enshrined in the Hall of Fame.
Agreed.
I just feel that way. Like,
all right, and you're right.
The injustice aspect will probably percolate in the next 3 years. Or so.
Trust me, it's going
to. If they don't make it, if they don't make it this year, probably not. But if they still see an upward trend or stagnant. If they're stagnant, you'll definitely see more percolation in terms of why is this happening.
Yeah. It's because baseball writers are stubborn.
Yeah. You know, I mean, they've been very stubborn some of them are stubborn that they wouldn't give a first place a Hall of Fame vote to, you know, certain players just because
it's
Ted Williams.
Yeah.
You know, was it Ted Williams that some didn't vote Ted Williams as a first ballot Hall of Famer?
I think so.
And some of them are not voting other players out of spite because Ted Williams did not. It's like stupid. Yeah.
One guy a couple of years ago, the only person he voted for was Jack Morris. I think it's the year that Maddux and Glavine got in. It was because the only person they voted for was Jack Morris because everybody else played in the steroid era. So, well, there's also a big stink being made by Hall of Fame second baseman Joe Morgan. Morgan played for the Big Red Machine Cincinnati Reds in the late 70s.
What did he say?
Well, the long story short is they're trying to petition now to get Pete Rose back in the Hall of Fame because of what Pete did for the game. And these are the same guys who are lambasting the Hall over steroids. So Steve's giving his thoughts on the Hall of Fame, and he says, I won't comment on the Baseball Hall of Fame because it's so watered down anyway, just like most Hall of Fames, and the people in charge are morons. But today, Hall of Famer Joe Morgan expressed his opinion on the Baseball Hall of Fame and says he believes that no PED user should be voted. This is a debate that's going to go on for a very long time since more and more players from the steroid era are now becoming eligible for Hall of Fame nomination. But back to Morgan. Is he wrong? I mean, it's an opinion, so he really can't be. I don't agree with him, but I understand where he's coming from. He doesn't want cheaters in the Hall of Fame. However, a lot of players already in the Hall of Fame are cheaters. Even before the emergence of PEDs, baseball players have been taking some substance to get an edge, but that seems to have been completely ignored.
I mean, you also got like the pitchers like earlier on, like the spitball type
exactly.
stuff there in the Hall of Fame.
So more from Steve. In my opinion, if PED users are denied into the Hall of Fame, then baseball should investigate and take out every player currently in the Hall of Fame that took some type of drug to get ahead once in his career.
Or someone who's a total ass like Ty Cobb.
Exactly. They finally put Joe Jackson in. But that will never happen. I can't fault Morgan on his opinion, but I just don't think it's realistic. It may not be the first ballot, but I think eventually a player like Barry Bonds or A-Rod will make it into the Hall of Fame. And this is going to be, as we've said, a topic that's going to rage on probably until the end of time. And I'm sure that there's guys that are in the Hall of Fame that have done something stupid to try to get an advantage. But I think because the steroid era ballooned out to what it is, people are taking another look at it. The way I see it, guys that have actually been found guilty of steroid use, like Manny Ramirez, who was suspended twice, Rafael Palmeiro, will never see the light of day of even remotely coming close to the Hall of Fame. Now, if there's actual proof that the guy took steroids, then yeah, kick his rear end out of the Hall of Fame. There's no way, at least out of guys that are tied to the steroid era. If Barry Bonds, what? Now, A-Rod's not going to get in because he's admitted to it and was suspended over it. So A-Rod's chances go bye-bye. With a guy like Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, they were never actually proven of anything. Yes, they've been tagged in the Mitchell Report, and that's been well documented. I'm not going to go into that any further. But unless, the way I see it, unless you've actually been proven that you did something wrong and took steroids, you're not getting into the Hall of Fame. Pete Rose was found guilty of betting on baseball, which is illegal, which is why he's banned for life and never going to see the Hall of Fame. So was Barry Bonds or Roger Clemens actually found guilty of steroid use? Not that I know of. I could be wrong, but I don't think either one has publicly admitted to it or been found guilty in any way, shape, or form of taking steroids during their careers. Is it obvious by looking at pictures, at least of Barry Bonds? Hell yes. But there's no way we can prove it just based on the eye test. I need hard evidence. And if you don't have hard evidence on Barry Bonds being a steroid user, Bonds should get in.
Very well said.
You got nothing else to add to it?
No, because it's just, you know,
It's beating a dead horse.
Being a dead horse, just saying the same thing over and over again. Let's move on.
Yeah, so the Hall of Fame class will officially be announced in 2018. And there we go with that. Now, as far as...
And dead halt goes the show.
What?
We stopped to a dead halt.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to
do it. And there we go. How about let's talk about week 11?
In the NFL? Why not?
Why not?
All right, well, let's see. The Giants somehow actually managed to win a damn football game for...
I know, and beat an Andy Reid team that came off a bye.
Which is tough to do, I think. Aren't Andy Reid teams usually pretty good coming off the bye week?
It's like he only had 2 losses ever, now this is 3.
Yeah, but the only thing
coming
is...
Coming off a bye?
Yeah, I know. The only thing that throws me off with this is... the Giants couldn't do jack squat offensively. No touchdowns at all for the Giants. It was all field goals the entire game. That's regulation and overtime. Eli finished with a stat line of 19 of 35, 205 yards. Orleans Darkwell actually was able to somewhat run the ball. 1 touchdown. Darkwell had 20 carries for 74 yards and a touchdown. It was the only touchdown of the game that gave the Giants a 6-3 lead in the second quarter. But after that, it was field goals the rest of the way. Kareem Hunt, 18 carries, 73 yards. The only reason I'm even bringing that up is because I traded for him and our fantasy league with Danny, and he barely did jack squat for me. So thank you very much, Kareem Hunt, for the Giants defense, shutting him down and Alex Smith as well. I'm still in shock that the Giants actually won a football game. They had to go to overtime to do it, but they were able to get the job done and walk away with a 12-9 victory that's going to lead them into a Thanksgiving matchup with the Washington Redskins, who are, by the way, coming off struggling in their own right after losing on Sunday. So... yeah, it's not really looking good, honestly. And you can thank Raymond, the kicker, for hitting the game-winning field goal. So, yeah, good luck. Oh, sorry, Aaron Rojas hit the game-winning field goal. It was a 26-yarder to win the football game. So, good luck with the Giants trying to play Washington next week. The High Chief Snyders are a very tough team to deal with.
I mean, the game has already played as this is airing.
Very true.
So, what do you think the outlook would be if the Giants win?
If the Giants win and pull to...
If they get their third win against the... As they beat the High Chiefs Niners.
3-8? I don't see it happening, and it probably won't happen because Washington's coming off an embarrassing loss and they're going to want to get their... You know, they're licking their chops against a bad Giants team. But...
And if they lose?
If the Giants lose and fall to 2-9, well, their odds are going exponentially up for the first overall pick. Granted, that's probably going to end up being the Cleveland Browns, who are 0-10 going into... this week, and still suck royally. The Browns are 0-10. They're not going to go anywhere. They could end up finally matching the Detroit Lions as being one of 2 teams ever to go 0-16. This year, I think, would have been a better year to make the bet with Danny over the 0-16 year than last year was.
Okay.
The Browns really have no talent. As far as the Giants are concerned, we talked about this a little last week with the players publicly ripping McAdoo in the papers.
Go on.
So... there's some belief that he started to lose the locker room, and I'm starting to think maybe they're right. Yes, he was able to help lead them to victory, but I think last year it was a combination of the Giants got really lucky to get into the playoffs, and I think luck and, of course, the injury bug playing a factor is a big reason why they're missing out on the playoffs now and why they're 2-8.
Now, the two obvious things, if they win or lose, it's pretty obvious. If the Giants win, there's more of a chance that things will stay the same. If the Giants lose, there's more of a chance that change will come.
Yeah, chances
are. And the best thing would be for the Giants, I don't want to say for them to lose, but the best outcome would be for them to lose, because if they keep on winning somehow, and it's going to tell management, oh, well, let's, you know, try this one more time. Like, if they were able to rally it together, let's see if we can make them pull this runoff maybe for next year.
I don't think so.
If the Giants, no, I have a feeling that something like that. That's what the Giants are, a stay the course type of team. As we've seen throughout the history of the New York Giants.
They don't really fire head coaches.
Or make any drastic changes like that.
I think they've only fired one head coach during the season since the 60s.
Yeah, but if the Giants do keep on losing and this whole anarchy and just rebellion against Ben McAdoo and all that stuff goes on, and they keep on losing and maybe just have one more win overall, they win three, they go 3-13, then you can definitely see some changes being made to this Giants organization, because there's no way the top upper management is going to let another horrific season like this happen again.
No. It's not possible. You're going to end up seeing
it. As a horrific season it is with those back-to-back shellackings that they had,
yep.
This win, it might think that, oh, it might be the start of things changing the same.
I don't know. Again,
might not change the same, but that makes no sense. That might be an aberration, and this is what the Giants team might look like going into the future. We're just going to have another great pick for Eli Manning to maybe kick at the can one more time.
Or maybe find Eli's replacement in the draft.
That's the better option.
Yeah, because you sure as hell don't have it on the roster now. So maybe you probably milk another year or two
really
out of
Eli.
You sure
Geno Smith isn't the answer?
Ha! Are you high? There's no way Geno Smith's the answer.
I'm high on Geno Smith. That's what I am.
There's the door. Don't let it hit you on the way out. Geno Smith is not the answer for this football team.
Oh, come on.
You saw what he did with the Jets. You really think he's going to have that kind of luck?
But now he's in the Giants system, not the Jets system.
He's still a bag of crap quarterback. Move on. Well, what's even more amazing, though, is that the Jets have... Well, think about it, though. It's going to show that Geno Smith couldn't win with this Jets team, but somehow...
Let's not talk about Geno Smith anymore.
Hold on. A 34-year-old quarterback in Ryan Fitzpatrick could do it. Got him to 10-5. And somehow...
10-6.
Yeah, it's 10-6. Sorry. And somehow, Josh McCown's doing it now at 38. And he's got them at least somewhat thinking coming out of the bye going into this week that they might even remotely have a chance at being a playoff team. That's a long shot at that. Because I think there's the rest of the AFC that's ahead of the Jets is too top-heavy. As far as the Giants are concerned, I can see heads rolling at the end of the season. Granted, it's not McAdoo's fault. To be fair to Ben McAdoo, you can't plan for injuries. There's no way he would have been able to tell at the start of the year that his top three wide receivers were going to be dealing with injuries all year, and he's going to lose his top two due to ankle injuries in the same week. All right, so don't tell me that Ben McAdoo could have expected that, because he couldn't have. All right, I'm not blaming Ben McAdoo for that. I'm blaming Ben McAdoo for Janoris Jenkins being unable to tackle anybody against the 49ers a couple weeks ago.
How do you blame him when... blame Ben McAdoo for a player quitting on him? Well, that makes sense. Why did As I said, as those words come out of my mouth,
yeah,
it's like he lost a locker room and players quit on him. That's why if they keep on losing, management will see that they really did quit on him even halfway through. He needs to be replaced.
Yeah, and I mean, you kind of saw that a little bit with the Jets with Todd Bowles last year. That's why Sheldon Richardson got traded for Jermaine Kearse. If you know it's like one or two players and it's not necessarily the coach, you get rid of the players. But if it's multiple people on the team saying it, it might be the coach. So with this Giants team, I honestly don't really know what to be able to tell you. I can't tell you everything. If I could, I'd be making millions being a psychic and being able to accurately predict this stuff, but I can't do that.
Or you're coming back from the future and have a whole like list of all the scores.
Almanac.
The almanac.
The sports
almanac.
Yeah,
I was trying to remember the name. It's like, what is it?
But yeah, it was the sports almanac.
Yes, okay.
So yeah, the Giants squeaked out a win, let's put it that way. How about this, though? You want to talk some of the hotter teams in the NFL right now? Yeah, the Giants got a win, but Try catching up to the New Orleans Saints, who have won 8 straight games. The Saints are now 8-2.
Eight-game winning streak, yep. Also.
And this
they
is
actually have a defense.
Yep. And this is after, this is following wins in back-to-back weeks over a blowout win over the Bills and a field goal win over Washington. Now they get a deal with Carolina this Sunday. They said, you know, actually they're coming off, they got their bye. No, wait a minute, what the hell am I saying? They're playing the Rams this weekend.
Yes.
And then they get a deal with Carolina and Atlanta before dealing with the Jets. Mm-hmm. So, Saints have managed to win 8 straight. They've got me believing that, you know what, the Saints team could become one of the premier threats in the NFC along with the Eagles.
Why not?
I mean, with the way they've been playing, Minnesota, too. Minnesota's no slouch. They're like 8-2 on the year
they
right
are.
Now. So,
yeah.
I mean, Carolina's crawled their way back into it. They're on a 3-game winning streak. They're a game behind New Orleans in that division. They're 7-3. And this was a division at the start of the year. I would have expected Atlanta and Tampa to be near the top of the division, but Tampa sucks. And Atlanta is just now starting to regain their form. They're on a 2-game winning streak, and they're 6-4. So, there's that. There's the AFC. There's the NFC West, which is a jumble. Seattle's 6-4. And I think the Legion of Boom is finally starting to show cracks. I think their defense is starting to come apart just a little bit. And there might actually be holes in that legendary defense out in Seattle.
Well, they got that win, though.
They did.
To keep them in pace with Los Angeles.
They did. But you got the Rams now, who are 7-3. And the Rams showed something the other this past week in that they can't hang with a top-ranked rushing defense. Because the Rams running game is probably what is predominantly what they're built off of. Todd Gurley did great for me before I traded him to Danny in the Kareem Hunt deal. But Todd Gurley proved that he's not quite ready yet to be that elite, to go full-blown beast mode elite running back, because he was practically shut down by the 7th-ranked Vikings defense as far as the run game's concerned.
Or he just had a bad day.
Yeah, well, it happens too that everybody's entitled to have off days. It happens. But the way it sits right now, honestly, I can't believe I'm about to say this, but the Miami Dolphins actually have a shot at the playoffs at 4-6.
They were, no.
Well, I would have said they had a shot at it. They did for a while, but now they're starting
to. They had a shot, and then they lost to the Buccaneers.
Yeah, but this is one thing, though, that boggles my mind. At 5-5, the Buffalo Bills are now on the outside looking in on the playoff picture because the Ravens
they
had
they don't deserve a playoff spot after not, that. After,
I was just, that's where I was going to go with that line.
After that L.A. Clippers. Jeez.
The Chargers,
yeah.
Damn.
Every time I see LAC, it's still I still register as the Clippers.
As the Clippers, yeah.
Yeah.
Right idea,
screw
wrong sport.
Screw you, Spanos.
I know.
But after that, Clippers.
Chargers!
Damn, I know!
Los Angeles Chargers!
Yeah. After the Chargers shellacked the Bills, 54-24, 30-point win, my God.
Yeah, and that's what happens when Nathan Peterman is your starting quarterback. And ends up throwing 5
That's what happens when you announce that Pettermann's the quarterback, and the Chargers study Pettermann and see his weaknesses.
Yeah. Somebody
which is everything.
Could somebody please explain to me what the hell Sean McDermott's thinking?
I don't know. I didn't see the game. I just see the
score.
No,
Sean McDermott's the head coach of the Bills.
I don't care. I see the score and.
How the hell could you sit? I mean, I know Tyrod Taylor struggled the week before, but how the hell could you sit Tyrod Taylor and start Nate Peterman of all damn people when you're trying to fight for a playoff spot? I'm not saying that Tyrod.
I guess it's some accountability issue, I guess.
Yeah, but are you sure you want to full blown blow a playoff spot like that? That might have seriously just cost the Bills a playoff spot.
Good. Teach them a lesson. Teach that team a lesson not to mess around.
I know.
And then you won't
get a
playoff spot.
I hate the Bills too, but.
Hopefully the Bills will learn from this, and hopefully they'll get better from it.
And hopefully Tyrod Taylor won't do anything stupid, and he'll stay under
exactly.
Center where
this
he belongs.
Exactly. If this was a whole accountability issue, then good. Good. Show them that, look, you're screwing yourselves over. You did something stupid. I'm taking you out for the game and see what happens.
You're gonna stick there.
You're gonna
look
lose
like
horribly. Basically, what happens is that you lose horribly, and it's your fault for forcing me to taking you out of this game.
Well, hey, you screwed yourself over with that one, pal. Take a seat on the bench and enjoy it.
Yep. Exactly.
Some of this stuff is honestly mind-blowing. And
now, why was Tyrod Taylor? Was it just because he had a bad game?
I think it was a combination of bad game and, as you said, maturity issues. I think that was also part of it.
What kind of maturity issues?
Honestly, I'm not sure why the hell Tyrod Taylor was taken out, to be full-blown honest. I never got the full scope
of
the story.
It feels because of maturity issues, and
I don't think,
he was doing something that deserved him to be out for that game.
I think I just think it was inconsistent play mostly.
If it's inconsistent play, then it's like you already gave up on the season by throwing Pettermann in.
Yeah.
You basically said, we're in a wild card spot, but we don't trust our quarterback, so we're going to throw away the season and see what this kid does.
Yeah, no, not a good idea.
If that's the case, then what the hell are you thinking,
it's
Buffalo?
It's been 18 years since the Bills made
what
the playoffs last.
What are you thinking by throwing in a backup quarterback?
Clearly they weren't
in the middle
thinking
of a playoff race clearly that you're in the second wild card spot for.
Clearly they weren't thinking, because if they were, Pettermann wouldn't have started, and then we would have stuck with Tyrod Taylor. But Sean McDermott may have just shot himself in the foot with that one.
Probably.
So yeah, and if Buffalo misses the playoffs...
Was it, though, his decision, or was it upper management?
No, I think it was Sean McDermott's call, honestly.
No?
Yeah. Nah. So yeah, if there's one guy to blame, it's Sean McDermott if Buffalo misses the playoffs, not Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, so it depends on those. If it was one way or the other, we'll see how it goes. Maybe you want to look that up a little bit to see if it was, because that is really important, though.
I know. I'm looking now to see what the reason was for Tyrod Taylor being benched. According to... Well, Tyrod was apparently shocked that he ended up getting benched.
Of course he would be.
So
what does it say there?
It's definitely Sean McDermott's call.
Okay.
He's the one who made the announcement.
All right. And as Matt scrolls down...
Yeah, it says, early Wednesday, McDermott said the move was about winning now, while acknowledging that, quote, Tyrod is part of the reason we are... where we are at 5 wins and in the playoff hunt, unquote. Then why would you sit him?
Yeah, yeah. Read any more if there's any allegations of something that Taylor has done that deserved him to sit that game.
Not that I'm reading, no.
So basically, and is this Pettermann's first start NFL career?
I think so.
Look that up quickly to see if this was Pettermann's first start. Clicking on Pettermann's name.
You don't have to be able to take them.
Well,
take
otherwise
they'll
be dead air.
Yeah, I know.
Career. Let's see his career stats.
Second career game, first NFL start.
Okay. So this is his first. That was his first NFL start. What the hell? I'm retracting my statement about this being an accountability issue on Tyrod Taylor.
It's a stupidity issue on Sean McDermott.
Exactly. That makes it even worse. I mean, you basically threw away the season. You're in a playoff spot. And you threw it away, saying, let's take a look at Pettermann.
No. You do that if you're, say, the Giants.
Exactly.
If you're 2-8, and for argument's sake, Eli's crap in the bed, and you got this kid Wood on the bench, and you want to see what he can do, fine. That makes sense. But you're at 5 wins, you're at 5-4, and you were sitting in the last wild card spot going into this weekend. Now you've been knocked out because of the Ravens now pulling back to 5-5 with their shutout win over the Packers. Yeah. So you basically just screwed yourself over for trying to snap an 18-year playoff drought. Congratulations, Buffalo.
And
enjoy your misery.
And the incompetence of the Buffalo Bills rears its ugly head for
once
yet
again
another season.
Oh, joy being a Bills fan.
Yeah, that's why they put themselves through tables lit in fire.
Yep. All right. Well, hey, to be fair, Bills fans hear me out. Bills fans must do a great service for Home Depots in the area. They keep their businesses going.
I don't think Bills fans are the reasons why Home Depot is still in business, man.
On Sundays, they are.
Matt, you're being very delusional.
I'm just trying to have a little fun and show the stupidity of Bills fans.
Yes. But they are stupid. But again, they've been tortured with 18 years of mediocrity and incompetence.
Yeah.
But you know who is an incompetent
who?
This season? The Jaguars.
Yeah. They are a fantastic football team. And
this season, yeah.
Hey, Leonard Fournette was a big reason for that on Sunday when they were able to pull out the win over.
You know where they are in the standings, Matt?
Where are they, Jeff?
First place.
Oh, you couldn't wait to do that, could you?
I am so happy to say that for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
That makes him happy beyond words. It really does.
Makes Dan happy, even though the Jaguars beat Dan's second favorite team, the Cleveland Browns.
Yep. Even though they're technically only a game up on the Tennessee Titans, they're 7-3. The Titans are 6-4.
It would have been great, though, to see Houston, if they didn't have their injury issues, see how they would fare against the Jaguars.
Yeah, hey. With how good Deshaun Watson's been, and I wouldn't be surprised if he wins Offensive Rookie of the Year, with how good he was before his knee injury, if he'd stayed healthy, yeah, I would have seen Houston right in the middle of that
playoff
race.
I mean, you definitely...
With Jacksonville and Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, they did win against Arizona, Houston, but
yep.
Still, that... I mean, Tennessee seems to be building up even though they did lose the last game. But Tennessee seems to be getting on the track, on the right track.
They're going in the right direction. Mariota's settling in nicely. They're getting contributions from Derrick Henry out of the backfield, who I'd like to see be a complete success in the NFL. Some guys don't necessarily translate well from being Heisman winners to having great pro careers. I would have loved to see Derrick Henry be one of those guys to continue that trend of success in the NFL. He's a good running back.
True.
He's a fantastic running back, and I would have liked to see him do it. I'd like to see him be more involved. But, and this just got me thinking about it now with good running backs in the NFL, you're starting now to see why the suspension of Ezekiel Elliott should have been going on from the start of the year. Because now...
You get it out of the way.
Exactly. And now Dallas is shooting themselves in the foot. They only produced 9 points on Sunday who the hell did they get beat by? I think they got beat by Philly. I'm double-checking myself now before I just completely start going off on a rant.
Yeah, they got destroyed by
37-9
Philly.
By the Eagles. And that cost them the game because... And that could cost them a potential playoff spot because of their stupidity for trying to fight the NFL on this. Just shut the hell up. Let Zeke serve his suspension at the start of the year. Make do with running back by committee. Have Zeke back now when you need him the most. And then take off for a playoff run. That's what you should have done. But that's not what's happening.
Yeah, good
and now
you're missing
out on
the
playoff
Matt.
Spot completely.
Captain Hindsight Solomon.
I know. But it's more surprising though that honestly out of the teams that are in right now, you got Carolina and Atlanta who are fighting out for wild card spot. Atlanta's at 6-4. But you got Detroit on the outside, Seattle on the outside, Green Bay on the outside, and Dallas on the outside.
Even though Green Bay's fading very quickly.
That's what happens when you don't try. When Brett Hundley's a serviceable quarterback, but it shows truly how valuable Aaron Rodgers is to that
football
team.
Life to Baltimore and their playoff hopes.
Yes, it did. And you know what?
Which is very surprising because Baltimore shouldn't be even in a position to make it to the playoffs the way they've been playing earlier on in the season.
I know.
But then again, you are in a mediocre division run by the Pittsburgh Steelers who
are running away with it.
Again, because they're playing against the Bengals who suck. You have the Browns, that's a win no matter what.
Yep.
So the Ravens are just like, okay, we're the default second team. We can hopefully make something out of it because
we're
in
a
horrible
division. I'd like to see the Ravens hang around. They made noise a couple of years ago beating the Niners in the Super Bowl. So they've been there before, and they know what that tastes like, especially with Joe Flacco quarterback.
But...
Again, don't get me wrong.
It's still like they still don't deserve it, though.
What do you mean?
They've been very mediocre and just... I just from what I've seen a few stats and stuff, I just did I don't have time to watch all the games and all the highlights.
Yeah, I know you don't.
But it just seems like that Baltimore just hasn't seemed to be that team, even if they're in the wild card spot.
They have the potential.
They have potential, but they just never seem to have that ferocity to even...
Go after the brass ring, if you will.
No, not make the brass ring, to even compete for a playoff spot. Because they won the brass ring a few years ago, you can't say that.
I'd like to see them stay at that level, especially when you have a guy as good as Joe Flacco is. Now, I'm not saying Flacco's on the same level with like a Tom Brady or even an Aaron Rodgers, but Joe Flacco's still a very good quarterback. But it's getting to that point now in that division, much like you can see with the AFC East, where it's pretty much one team and then everybody else.
Again, we keep on saying this. The first quarter of the season, we always think New England's going to be, this is the year that they're going to suck horribly.
Yeah.
Never but again, six straight wins.
As long as Bill...
8-2, leading the division with Buffalo sucking and just not even being a competitive team anymore.
Because it's the Bills and the hell with logic.
So it's not even worth discussion for the AFC East anymore.
Tom Brady's going to play. Brady still wants to play till he's 45. That's what he's saying. He's 40 now.
I mean, he's in a division where he can do that.
Yeah, because the rest of the division flat out sucks ass. So, speaking of sucking ass, Steve has given us his thoughts on the NHL and the New York Rangers. He's been wanting...
Can you quickly say that? Because we're about to run into the Pigskin Pick'em.
All right, I'll get Steve's thoughts out quickly, or as quickly as I possibly can, as far as the Rangers are concerned.
Because he's definitely very adamant in his Rangers.
Yeah, he usually is, and we've picked on him for it here on the show. Hold on. All right, the Rangers, on the other hand, are... This so-called experienced veteran team, yet in 3 seasons, they've not learned from their mistakes, and their quote-unquote head coach has refused to make any adjustments. Over the last 3 seasons, we've seen the Rangers have one of the worst defenses in the league, yet the GM and coach have done and will do nothing to fix it. You could say that they subtracted Girardi and added Shattenkirk, but that was obviously to increase offensive numbers from their defense, since they were really poor in that category last season. You don't add Shattenkirk for defense. They could have acquired another D-man which they still can, or just call up Neil Poinick, who's supposedly one of their top hot young prospects. But, what was it? But they won't do either. They instead prefer to watch an aging Henrik Lundqvist try to stop 45 shots a game. As for their forwards, what are both Gordon and AV looking at? Their center depth is atrocious. It's by far the worst in the division, and probably bottom five in the league. However, with one move, I believe their center depth will be greatly improved in the state that the Montreal Canadiens are in. If I was Gordon, I would send them offers every day to try to get Alex Galchenyuk. The Canadiens are playing him on the fourth line, has hurt his trade value, which plays in the Rangers, benefiting them. Let's see, the Rangers don't have enough pieces to make a splash for a top center, so they go after one that isn't right now, but can be. Galchenyuk is the perfect answer for them, and since their front office is so inept, they could probably get him for someone like Jimmy Vesey, who is by far the Rangers' most overrated winger. But will the Rangers do this? Of course not. They'd rather leave holes the way they are and see what happens. Only we already know that'll happen. We'll see it in the last three seasons, only now because of the slow start to begin the year. This time they may not even make the playoffs, which honestly may be something they need to spark changes. Cough, cough, new head coach. Cough, cough, new GM. Cough, cough.
I mean, the Rangers have bounced back after a very poor start, and they have been winning. They won the last seven out of their last 10 games, so I mean,
they're sitting on the outside of a playoff spot looking
yeah,
in.
Yeah, they are, but again, we're still a quarter of the way in. There's still a lot of time.
Exactly.
To make up.
It's the day after Thanksgiving. You got
yeah,
plenty of
again,
time
the
to
whole
worry
thing
about
is
this.
That if you're 4 points out after Thanksgiving, then you have a really tough chance of making the playoffs. And the Rangers right now, as I see it quickly in the points, is that they have 22 points, and Washington is in the second wild card spot with 23, so I feel like they have a chance.
Yeah, I never fully count this Ranger team out. I never do. They always find a way to sneak in.
Yep.
I want the same thing with the Islanders that Steve wants out of the Rangers. He wants his team to be competitive, and he wants them to be able to play for a championship.
And three teams that are over 4 points as we approach Thanksgiving or past it are Montreal, Florida, and Buffalo. So the rest of the Eastern Division Conference has a chance.
Yeah.
And
there's always a chance.
Yep, it's time to move on as well.
Let's do it. Pick football games?
Sure.
Why not? This is the Sully and Steve on Sports
Pigskin Pick'em. Turn down for what?
So as we move on in this Pigskin Pick'em season, it seemed like Steve was losing his lead, and there's no way he would bounce back from all these losses. But this week showed that Steve has firm control of this season, as he had three correct predictions, correctly predicting the Detroit game, which was an accurate prediction, the Rams game, where he only was the only one that picked Minnesota to win, and was the closest without going over with the New Orleans game, which was a 3-point win by New Orleans, and Steve was the closest with 7. Dan got the Jacksonville game prediction right, and Matt didn't win at all. So Steve wins that week with 3. Dan got 1, and Matt got none. So that leaves us with Steve expanding his lead from a 1-point differential to 4 points, taking the lead to 17. Matt and Dan now are tied with 13 points. Dan has caught up to Matt. So now we move on to week 12, and I have the picks for both Steve and Dan. So here we go. Now, the Giants are playing this week, but it has happened already, and we don't have our predictions for them because why would we give predictions to a game that already happened? So we're going to do the Jet game first, as they host Carolina.
All right, so it's Jets and the Panthers. Carolina's been a slight shell of itself this year, but they are well over 500. They're in a tough competitive division with the Saints. Carolina's going to roll over the Jets. 10-point win for the Panthers.
Okay. Well, a good thing is that you're not matching anyone with that prediction.
At least not as far as score goes.
That's what I'm saying. Because why else would it be, Matt? Really, what else would it be?
Somebody might be stupid enough to pick the Jets.
Well, Steve, he goes with Carolina with 7. And Dan picked the Jets. to win by 3.
Really?
I am serious.
Wow.
He picked the Jets.
All right.
So we'll see how that goes. Maybe an upset coming for their Jets' 5th win. Maybe he just wants them to win so they don't get a high draft pick. Who knows?
We'll find out. But with that being said, next game.
Turn down for what?
And now, as I said, since the Giants played, that means 5 games are being chosen by the randomizer. And this is how it's going down. The first game up for the randomizer is the Monday night game, Baltimore hosting Houston.
That's good. That could be a decent game. I would have given it a different score had Jameis Winston, not Jameis Winston, wow, Deshaun Watson been healthy.
All right, yeah.
But with the way that Baltimore's been playing as of late, they're going to end up rolling over Houston. It's not even going to be close. Baltimore wins it by 14.
Wow, that big? You think that...
No.
Are you really sure about that, though?
No, I'm not. Baltimore by 10. Baltimore by 10, final
it's
answer.
It's still a double-digit win?
Yes.
You think this is going to be the breakout win that Baltimore needs for this season?
It is. Ravens by 10.
Well, you had the highest point differential prediction of the 3.
Okay.
Both have picked Baltimore, but Steve picks them to win by 4, and Dan picks Baltimore to win by 6.
All right. With that being said... Next game.
Turn down for what?
And now we have the AFC North leading Pittsburgh Steelers hosting a weak Green Bay team. How bad do you think Pittsburgh will beat Green Bay?
14. Not even close. Pittsburgh by 14, and that's being generous because, I mean, again, it depends on which Brett Hundley shows up. If you get the one you saw against the Bears, it might be a little bit closer than that. But if you get the Brett Hundley you saw last week... Not going to be close. Pittsburgh by 14, and that's being nice.
Are you sure you want to match Dan?
We got the same score, damn it. I'll stick with it.
You're going to stick with 14 with Dan?
Yeah.
You don't want to have a chance for even higher?
Yeah, just to change it up, I'll go 17. Just for the diversity. I'll go 17.
And you have the chance of if the Steelers win by more, you get that win.
I know, so I'll take 17.
There you go. See, that's strategy.
I'll take 17. Dan's got 14. What about Steve?
Steve also thinks it's double digits.
10?
It is 10.
All right. So it's going to be a whooping for the Steelers. Jeff, next game.
Turn down for what?
The other Pennsylvania team is in pigskin pick'em.
All right.
The Eagles continue the dominant way of winning. It looks like they'll do that as they host another returning team from pigskin pick'em, the Chicago Bears.
The Bears. Go down. Philly's been dominating everybody and their mother this year. Philly keeps it going. Eagles by 10.
And that is the lowest point differential for that game, as Steve predicts the Eagles to win by 14, and Stan predicts the Eagles to win by 17.
All right, so we're getting a little more diversity on the scores this week. I kind of like it. The only one that's got diversity on the game itself is Carolina and the Jets. Jeff, next game.
Turn down for what?
And that game is an AFC South divisional matchup.
There you go.
Which includes not the Jacksonville Jaguars.
That's because they're playing out west.
Exactly. So that means it's Tennessee hosting, not hosting, but going to Indianapolis.
Lucas Oil Stadium will be very, very kind to the Tennessee Titans. Why? Because the Indianapolis Colts flat out suck.
So are you saying that there's going to be no fans there?
It's
going to be kind because it's going to be a quiet game.
Pretty much. It's going to be kind because Tennessee's going to run away with it. Titans win it by 14.
Ooh, a big one. The biggest margin because Dan and Steve thought it was going to be a very close game. Tennessee by 2 for Steve. And Tennessee by 3 for Dan. Now, Dan, that's going to be tough for Dan because Dan can only nail the prediction for him to win.
Yep. And... last but not least, you know what, Jeff? Final game.
You know what? What does that even mean?
You know what? Let's go to the final game. Let's do that.
Turn down for what?
The Rams make another return to pigskin pick'em.
Yes.
It's like, what, the 4th straight week for the Rams?
Yep. At least.
And they host, this is probably going to be one of the games of the week. They host New Orleans.
It's going to be the game of the week. I'm actually going to go on a close score with this one. I'm picking the Saints because they are hotter than a wildfire right now in the NFL. They're the hottest team in the league. Rams put up a decent fight. Saints win it by a touchdown.
7 points?
Si, senor.
Well, you're going to match Dan yet again.
Damn it!
Do you want to change your prediction?
No, I'll stick with it.
You sure about that?
All right, 6.
Okay.
6 points for me, 7 for Dan.
Locked in for 6 as Dan predicts 7. And Steve goes the other way, predicting the Rams to win by 3. That point differential won't matter for Steve, because if the Rams win, Steve automatically will get that game.
Same thing with Danny picking the Jet game.
Exactly.
And on that note, Jeff, shut this the hell down.
Will do.
Turn down for what?
Oh, that is not bad for on-the-fly picking, actually. Normally I'd have all my predictions set by Tuesday morning.
So at least, though, with that Rams game, you do have a chance, like, if it's a very close game to win, but, you know.
I do, but, like, and this
the,
is...
The margin of error is with Dan.
Dan, I know. But the thing is that usually most of my picks that I do online, I do them through Yahoo, and I just pick the winners. I couldn't give a rat's rear end about picking scores. I'm 160. I've got 100 out of a possible 160 right this year on my picks. I'm usually pretty good with doing those. I just can't pick scores because I don't pay attention to the damn betting lines. I never have.
Good for you.
Yeah, I know.
Even though probably if we do this next year.
Keep this going. I do admit, though, I like this.
But, you know, Greg and all the other people from Solly and Steve hierarchy were like, why did he not do the spread? Why, you know? I mean, one thing is that the spread isn't really well defined when we record this on a Tuesday.
No, it's not.
I feel like that is a major reason why we do point differential.
Yeah.
If we recorded this, let's say, on a Thursday, you know, usually the time we should be recording because we air the shows on Friday, the point differential would mean something.
Yeah. My time is now freed up on Thursday nights.
Ooh, that's pretty nice. What happened?
My hours got cut back at my job, so I now have nice.
Cut back, but do they expand elsewhere?
Yes.
Okay,
so my hours have been cut.
Your hours are fluctuating elsewhere.
Yes.
Okay, so that makes
sense. And I also have hours limits since I'm technically considered part-time. I can't go over a certain number of hours in a given week.
Yeah, no, I know that feeling.
So, it's annoying, but what can you do, right?
See? Well, too bad for that, but again, what can you do?
And final thought, I hope everybody enjoyed your Thanksgiving weekend.
You said that already.
I know, but I hope everybody's now getting geared up for the holidays, because we are a month away from Christmas.
Yay.
Christmas music's already started playing on a couple of local music stations here on Long Island.
24-hour Christmas. Now all the stores will be, like all the CVS's and all the major department stores is Christmas, 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 Christmas.
And people are going to be running over each other trying to get Christmas presents. Luckily for me, most of my holiday shopping will be done before December hits.
Good for you.
Yeah, I know.
And I look forward to another sarcastic magnet from you.
Yep. Well, hey, I could change that this year. You never know.
You're not going to change it.
How do you know that?
Unless you decide to give me money for the holidays. I accept money as well. Gift cards accepted.
I know. So I'll see what I can come up with.
Okay.
But on that note, we have run out of time for this episode of the show.
My gift will be determined by your gift.
Okay then. Jeff Logic, ladies and gentlemen. Jeff Logic. Alright, so if you...
I am that kind of ass.
Yes, he is. You can follow us on various forms of social media. Facebook.com/SolidSteveLogSports. Twitter at @S_S_sports. Get all your updates on the sports world. Get all your updates on this very show through social media.
This very show?
Yeah, on this very show. Shut up! Follow us on our blog, ssonsports.blogspot.com. All the latest episodes of the show are on iTunes. Everything else is on SoundCloud. Just search Solly and Steve on Sports. Hit download. You can take us with you wherever you go. If you have any questions, concerns, comments, or whatever you don't want to leave on social media, email us, SollySteveOnSports@gmail.com. For everybody working hard behind the scenes, for Third Mike, Dan, and for Steve and Jeff, I'm Solly. We'll be back same time, same place next week. See ya.
One day, Steve and Dan will return.
We hope.
To be continued.